Hi, sweetheart.
Hey, Angel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, well, reporting live from the beating heart of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt Bike Now.
Alternative radio?
For alternative cyclists.
Okay, let's get into it. This is our first episode of this podcast.
I forgot to say, I'm your host, Ronnie Romance.
And this is Aria. Kidding me. And I'm Aria.
Are you kidding me? Okay, well, this is our first episode here. We had a little kerfuffle this morning. This is the third.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, the third of four mics. The fourth mic, of course, would be the computer speaker, but we're not that low class, folks. This has got to have a little waft of professionalism.
There's a slight waft of professionalism here in our kitchen.
Is that what that is?
Can you smell that? Okay, so we wanted to do this podcast because we didn't really hear any voices of alt cyclists. There's really no podcast for alt cyclists.
The Radivist has a podcast out.
It's interview format.
Haley Moore, a friend of ours,
does
a brilliant job with the interviews. They're about four episodes in right now, I believe. So make sure you
check it out.
If you want more of this kind of stuff, I would recommend checking that out. We just thought it would be nice. We have these conversations every morning anyway.
I know. I'm always listening to podcasts, when I'm at work shipping for ronsbikes.com.
That is a big sponsor of this podcast. Ronsbikes.com.
100% sponsor.
Ultra Dynamica. I'm sorry, Ultra Dynamico,
if you're fancy.
Yeah, if you're fancy.com. Those are our two sponsors, and those are, of course, our businesses.
Yeah. So welcome, everybody. Please excuse any kind of technical audio issues. We're doing this ourselves, producing this ourselves from our kitchen. So
yes, the oats are cooking
we'll leave
right
you
now.
With that. Yeah, the you might hear the little bubbles.
The oats are cooking, and we're one carafe of coffee in.
I'm one cup of tea in, on the second cup.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful spring day here, Monday morning. May the 4th be with you. I just learned what that meant.
Yeah, this morning I had to tell Ron what he was like. What did you say, sweetie? You're like, what?
Why is it May 4th?
Why is that? That had to be like, May the 4th be with you. Anyways, okay, so.
Ron's rights now. That could be another podcast, I guess.
Yeah. You could do that one solo.
Well,
I guess
the format. Why don't we go over what kind of format we're gonna do here
for everyone?
Sure, go for it. I think we're gonna kind of lead with some headlines. And headlines for us, it's just basically what we're into. We both have gotten back into watching professional cycling the past
past three years or so now. Four years now.
Yeah. Something I used to watch growing up, and basically until, the 2010s, early 2010s, and so it's nice to. Revisit. Well, it's nice to get back into it because it's such an exciting time for men's and women's cycling right now, and to have the love of my life be into it also with me, and maybe even more so than me.
I like the women's side of the cycling because I think it's really fresh and new. The superstars are just superstarring and shining bright. I'm really excited about it. And there's some really great content creators like Aisha McGowan who are giving primers on who these pros are who are doing really well, what races are coming up. Anyway, I could go on and on, but that's for another time.
Yeah, and for you alt cyclers out there who thinks this stuff is stupid.
It is. 1,000% is.
But it is also, these people need respect because they don't get it from anyone else,
Yeah,
they do from, the mainstream cycling media, but, that's a pretty small chunk of the sporting world. And in many regards, it's the hardest, one of the hardest sports to endure.
I would agree.
And
yeah.
For the least amount of pay. And,
it's such an obscure thing.
Right,
you never go to a bar, a dive bar and there's cycling playing.
Cycling,
that's not a thing.
People are watching a bunch of
football or the food chain. Looking
people like on these little bicycles in their tiny
suits. Let's not ridicule, ridicule our pros, but, who work so
they're
hard.
Actual gladiators.
Okay, so
they
as
put
far
their
as
body through a lot, and we need to appreciate it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're also going to get into, you know, alt bike headlines.
Yeah, the headlines. I mean, alt bike. What is alt bike?
I think, right. Well, you know, to me, alt bike is just everything that the mainstream bike media does not cover. This is like your alternative radio for...
Well, if we could talk about what it is and not what it is not.
What it is not, right. Like, you like that.
Yeah. I think, for me, alt bike is like a philosophical state of mind. I think alt cyclists tend to be people who... you know, care about process, how the products that they're using or the bikes that they're riding came to be what it is. Like, they like to have more of a hands-on approach to their bike builds. Mm. They want... It's a continuation of, like, punk or DIY communities just grown up a little bit. Like, maybe they have a kid, but they definitely care about bikes. They maybe work at a co-op. Like, they're more of, like, the justice-oriented... kind of feminist leaning people who don't care about like power structures in the world or bike trends or like chasing the newest thing.
Definitely bike trends, because trends are fashion, and we are all about that, I think, in this podcast.
I just mean trends in the scale of like big bike business, like big bikes, like
big bike trend.
Yeah, you know, like, is the newest, latest, like lightest, aeroist, like, that's not necessarily the objective. It could be into alt bike world for a fun toss salad, but
we could ride aero bikes you know, from an alt perspective.
That's fine. Like, so so I guess that's where
all bicycles are welcome here. It's just a matter of your approach to cycling. Is it holistic, or is it just simply to get a quick workout in? You know,
like holistic.
Mm-hmm. You making whole jokes this early?
Go on, take
okay.
everything.
Yeah. Well,
see what I did there?
You were meaning, I think you were talking about a different kind of hole, Namdahl.
I was talking about Courtney.
Yeah, okay. Well, moving on.
So, you know, let us know what you think alt cycling is. This word has been thrown around for, you know, a while, and I don't know what it is. So
you want to put out an email address here for anybody who wants to, like, right away want to, like, write in to us?
No.
Or send a... Okay, we'll get to that later.
No, I do not.
Maybe we'll get to that, because we do want to have some listener feedback here. Also, listener mail is always fun.
Yeah, and listener mail is going to be a part of the structure. You know what? Why don't we go back to what the structure is?
Okay.
All right, I'll do it.
All right.
I'll do this part. So every episode is going to be, you know,
be careful with this,
headlines, like what we've heard in the news, the bike news this week.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to...
We're
going to
try to do this weekly.
Every week,
stating
you will hear from us.
Stating our intentions here.
Yes. Yes, you have to speak it into existence. So we'll do headlines. We'll do real-life report backs. Like, Ron goes to a lot of bike events. He goes to a lot of bike shows. We do a lot of rides. We have a great, healthy group here. So just real-life report backs from the saddle. We're going to talk about the sport of cycling, like we mentioned earlier.
Pro cycling.
The pro cyclings. What's going on, what races are coming up that we're excited about, or what races we just saw that was really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do a section called Tell Them Why You're Mad, which is, you know, things that really grind our gears, our grievances within the cycling world. Like,
which are innumerable.
Ron has so many.
Mm-hmm.
I have less, but I have also had less time in this deep cauldron of cycling. So that's gonna be our structure, and I really hope that more and more of you tune in. And yeah, maybe next time there will be like an inbox or something that can take this specific.
And you could believe all of this sponsored by the kind folks at ronsbikes.com.
That's crazy.
They are unbelievable. Truly. Thank
it's
you.
It's like they like us so much.
Thank you, ronsbikes.com.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
well,
so
without further ado, I guess right here we'll put a little whoosh. Okay, well, let's get
Or an
right.
oh
Yeah,
wow.
no, wow. All right, we're just getting right into the headlines here.
Yeah, what are some headlines? I mean,
You've got the Radovis pulled up here. Why don't we just
yeah,
give
I'm
a
a
little.
paying member, subscribe. It's, you
I
know, it's
mean,
a top
this page.
this week it's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to cover in real life report backs, because this week I'm seeing, like the Bespoke show,
Bespoke
the
UK show that I just came back from.
yes sir that was in London, right?
The Two Bikes Chattanooga Bike Camp, which I attended a few weeks ago, or I guess last month at this point. So yeah, why don't we you want to ask me a little bit about Bespoke?
Yeah, I guess we're going into real life report backs because
all
we don't
right
really have headlines right
I
now.
mean
Like, do you have any
a
big
pro
cycling
well,
news?
I've got one big pro. I mean,
That's part of
the
sport.
we had right now is the Vuelta Femenina, which is the women's Vuelta. The men's Vuelta, of course, is in September. The women's is in May right now.
Wait. So the Vuelta, for people who don't know, is a world-class tour,
The world tour, yeah.
multi stages, 21 days.
No, well, the
Not for
men's
the
Vuelta,
women. The
yeah.
women's is usually like eight or
And
seven.
it's Spain. Did
And
I
it's
say that already?
Spain. So there's three major world tours.
Grand tours.
There's
Three major grand tours.
Okay, you know what? The mansplainy.
Well, you gotta say
The mansplaining is here. You got to
it.
say it right, but
Yeah, world
who cares? You
tour.
understand what I'm saying. Give me a break.
No.
There are three world class
Grand tours. Yeah.
grande tours,
And,
and they're in Spain, like the Tour of Spain, the Tour of France, and the Tour of Italy, called Giro, the Tour de France, and the Vuelta. Okay, take it away, Ron. What did you?
All right, so right now, the world, this is the first grand tour of the season for the women, and for the the men's first grand tour is starts this upcoming weekend with the Giro in Italy. The seven stages of the Vuelta Femenina right now. I believe stage one was just on Sunday or Saturday or Sunday. It was a sprint stage. I don't know who won
I don't
because
know who won either.
the big headline is Marianne Vos crashed and broke her collarbone.
Oh
Big
no.
favorite.
The literal goat of cycling.
Has won more than any other cyclist in history.
Yeah.
She's 37, 38.
Yeah, I think around
One of
there.
our favorite racers, does all the disciplines, cyclocross. Well, I guess she probably doesn't do mountain biking, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's tried. And she's on Jumbo team is not no Visa Lisa bike,
Visma.
Visma Lisa bike, and a well-funded team. A lot of other racers, of course. The
That's a shame, yeah.
victor of the Tour de Femmes, France,
Pauline Ferrand-Prevot.
who's
Ron has a hard time
I
with
can't
like
remember.
non with
Yeah, if
Euro
it's like Bill
names.
or Joe, I can usually get it.
He
Or
cannot remember these European names.
European names, tough on me. But so that you're gonna be you're
So
gonna
it's funny because he calls them different names. Like, he came up with one
Pauline.
for Florian Vermeersch.
What was
No,
it?
it wasn't Florian
Oh,
Vermeersch. It
Rum
was
Springer.
guess who
I don't
Rumspringa
even know. Who is it? It's a
It's
cyclocross
Emil
racer.
Restringa.
Emil Verstringer,
It's a
cyclocross
cyclocross
racer. But
racer.
he's on Rum Springer.
Yeah, it's because he looks young.
Yeah.
anyway. So headlines.
Yeah, so that's my main
That's your headline.
pro cycling headline for the week, because it just happened yesterday and blah blah blah. So I mean the not blah blah blah. This is exciting stuff, as we said earlier on, folks. So check that stuff out for yourself. We're getting our news from Escape Collective.
For the
We're
pro
paying
stuff.
members also. Another great
Any.
website with great podcasts.
For sure.
I mean, we could talk a little bit about
Any
the
like
last
bike
classic. The last
parts?
classic of the season was just last weekend. Liège-Bastogne-Liège,
Yeah.
which is the oldest race in on
The
the calendar in the world,
world.
130 years
That's
more.
crazy.
And it's a long ass race. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how long. It's long.
Because it's in KM, so we don't know.
Yeah, it's in kilometers.
We have no idea. I think it's like 1,000 miles or something. I don't know.
And one day race, which means it's a you know, not a tour. It's a prestigious one day event. It's also a monument, which means of monumental length and of a classic age of 130 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, you know, they're trying to make you know, Strada Bianca, which is like the season opener for the hard men and women,
which is in Italy,
but it's only been going on for like not even 20 years, I guess. And so it's they don't want to call it a monument yet, although it mimics the monuments because it's a monumental length and it's gorgeous and it's extremely hard.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, well, we can get into what the monuments are at a different time. But, you know, last weekend was the last race of the classic season, which is Liège-Bastogne-Liège. It was, won by Tadej Pogačar, Pogača, however you want to say his name.
Yeah.
Who is...
I call him Todd.
Yeah, Todd. If you don't know who he is, I would look.
You at, will.
You will.
Or I mean, you should ask somebody.
I mean,
they
ask
know.
Anybody. He's definitely considered. I mean, I know we just talked about Marianne Vos being the goat, but on the flip side, this is the
he's baby goat.
Baby goat.
Baby goat on his way up that mountain.
Quite a bit younger. How old is Tadej?
I think he's like 26 or 27.
He looks like 17, 18, which is kind of the kind of how it's going in our era of cycling right now.
It's younger
and
faster.
It's a young person sport, as opposed to when I was way into cycling in my early years. It was you know, people in their 30s who had enough mileage in their legs to do these kinds of events. But now they're starting younger and younger. And case in point, Paul Sexas for
who dat?
Come on now. 19-year-old Paul Sexas.
You know what? You're obsessed with this guy.
Well, you probably didn't see the finish though. He's the only one that stayed with Tade. He's 19 years old. He's on a French team, Decathlon, and he on the final climb, which is a European name, so I cannot pronounce it, and so don't bother yourself with it.
Don't worry about it.
Tade was attacking attacking like a maniac, like he does, and just, you know, peeling back the muscle fibers in everyone's legs around him.
Yikes.
You know, just for fun. And, you know, Remco couldn't hang.
Remco, even Paul.
Yeah, you know, no one could hang with him. Paul just kept on digging and stayed on his wheel until the very end, really.
That's
and
crazy.
So, which is wild because this guy's 19 years old. He's French. And he is poised to definitely carry the torch of cycling into the future here, and it's a mad scramble for teams to buy this guy up, because if there's one person that can face Pogačar, we'll call him Todd, who's Slovenian, we should mention, if there's one person poised to be Pogačar's rival in the upcoming years, it is this guy. I wouldn't say it's Jonas Vingegaard, and I wouldn't say it's Remco Evenepoel. It's this guy, Paul.
Okay.
So
just to make like men's cycling a little bit more exciting, because if Tadej Pogačar is like racing, it's just not even fun to watch a lot of the races because he just attacks, with the exception of
Paris-Roubaix.
This year was an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I want to say, like, if you're just getting in or just curious, pro cycling curious, go back and watch this year's Paris-Roubaix, because we won't spoil it for you.
The men and the women's were just incredibly emotional.
Incredibly emotional.
I got I got sad, I got glad.
We were in tears at the finish line.
Yeah.
Specifically of the men's race.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway. Okay, so that's really
Well, that's Ron's
the primer there.
Ron's what is it called? A monologue on his love for Paul's sexy ass.
He's 19.
He's 19.
You can get me in trouble here.
I mean,
Paul's sexy ass.
What it's did French. I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to make fun of people's names.
Well.
Except that was the last time. That was the last time.
Shall we move on to some alt news?
Yeah. Do you know of any, like, parts or handlebars or, like, do you know of any, like, bike parts?
Well, I mean, our sponsor is Ultra Dynamico.
Okay.
Have just released a new tire called the Brute, which is 700 by 53. It's a fast rolling, kind of in between their Kava and Rosé tread.
It's the one with all the little triangles everywhere.
Yeah, it's got a lot of little
triangles. Really cute.
Yep, exactly.
If a tire can be cute,
yeah,
it's cute.
I know quite a bit about this tire.
Okay, that's great.
Spoiler alert.
Tell us about this tire.
Spoiler alert. I designed it with my friend Patrick,
yeah,
who's the other half of Ultra Dynamica. I should just say Ultra Dynamico.
Yeah.
It
deserves some respect.
Yeah, we are a company of three employees, myself, Patrick, and our friend Troy, Hallie Bones on Instagram. We got a new tire.
Which is, Troy is how we met.
Yeah, Troy is also how, interestingly enough, the shipper for Ultra Dynamico, Troy Howell, is how...
Ronnie and I met.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 13 years ago.
13
yeah.
years ago. So
yeah.
Pretty cool.
And here we are today.
So yeah, we're just a small community of cyclers in the heart of Nutmeg Country, running a few businesses, sometimes well, oftentimes...
Again, alt cyclists, like, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know how to run a
business.
We just know what we like, and we want to make sure we have plenty of it.
So thank you. Yeah, so thank you for buying our stuff when you do. All right. That's my news.
Yeah. So I guess what I was trying to get at is, like, you just went to the Bespoke Bike Show.
Right.
Like, it's like the hand-built bike show in Europe. Right.
In the UK, yeah. I just got home from just two nights ago from the UK, my first trip there. I was brought out by Brooks to show two bikes, two of Ron's bikes, our bike brand, at the Brooks booth. And Brooks Saddles.
And Brooks Running Shoes.
Yeah, crucially not Brooks Running Shoes or Brooks Brothers. They can't. They do.
They don't do
shapes. They don't. Yeah. So Bespoke is, there's three of them per year, and they're kind of like
You said one's in London.
One's in London, one's in Dresden, Germany.
Yeah.
And there's one in Nagoya, Japan.
Oh.
I think it's in Nagoya, or it's in Osaka, Japan.
Okay.
That'll
cool.
be the first in Japan this year. And
what is it? What is it?
These events are put on by Peter of Dear Susan.
Okay.
Also a Radovis contributor.
But what is it?
It is it's silly to say hand built, but I guess for the use of, like, description, you know, all bikes are hand built. I mean, as of now, I'm sure they're thinking of building many by robots at this point. This is like small.
All right, Ron.
Well, I'm serious.
Bring it in. He does this. Like, we've been in a relationship for 10 years. I got into cycling because of him, obviously. And, you know, in the beginning, I'd just ask him a direct question, and he'd be like, well, you know, like, this MKA crank was first made in, I don't know, like, in 1873 by this guy, and you know what? He didn't do it threaded first time, and I'm like, just, like, how do I use it, man? Just get to the answer.
Yeah, I can't.
So
be
he can be
verbose.
Very long-winded, and you're going to hear me just do this to him constantly.
I think our listeners will want to hear about this, though.
Because you do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, hand-built bikes, they're all hand-built. Sand's involved in all of them. There are much smaller subsets of, I should say, non-manufactured bikes.
Okay.
And manufactured is a loose term because I suppose our bikes are manufactured because we do them in batches of 30 to 50. But it's made by one person. Yeah, it's pretty small scale. I'm talking about, like, larger bike.
Kind of assembly line style.
Yeah,
and
right,
not
right,
like a...
right. So, of course, yeah, it's a Anyway, these are made more attention to detail, of course, because you're doing one at a time. And usually
are we
one person doing it. There's
steel,
a lot of
carbon,
yeah, steel. I mean, there is a little bit of there's carbon at the show, but yeah, steel. I was the only aluminum bikes at the show.
Okay,
which usually is how it goes. Aluminum is making a comeback.
I think it's fully.
We'll have to have a whole episode segment in the future on frame materials,
on aluminum,
and on aluminum in particular, because those are, you know. Some of my favorite bikes are aluminum, but we'll get into that later. So yeah, just some you know, small brands, small builders. This the first one of the year. The kickoff is in the UK. It was in Peckham area of London, which was I've been told is being gentrified right now, and so there are little pockets of that.
The gentry has arrived in Peckham.
Yeah, the gentry has arrived in Peckham. like all good places, us late Gen Xers and millennials.
Identify as a boomer.
Yeah, a boomer.
Even though I was born as a millennial.
Find a creative
spirit of a boomer.
Spirit of the boomer. Yeah, we find a place that's inexpensive, and we become creative in these places, and a lot of coffee shops open up as a result. And thankfully,
the gentry brings their fancy coffee art and
their latte
what else?
Art. The gentry brings their latte art. I like that. So yeah, Peckham had a little bit of everything, and what a incredible place just to walk around and take it all in. I don't think I've, you know, I think. You know, we visit New York once or twice a year, and it's cool to see that melting pot happen. But Peckham, London, I gotta say, I felt like I was in the midst of like multiculturalism in a way that I hadn't even experienced in New York.
Yeah, you were pretty blown away by it.
Yeah,
we had a FaceTime, and like Ron had to bring me outside to the streets to show me, like, oh my god, look at this, like, Indian restaurant. Look at all these people. There were people dressed up in costumes. Like, it really did feel like vibrant, creative, multicultural.
Was, yeah.
Kind of the world that we want to live in.
Precisely.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Just...
yeah. Yeah. And everyone was seemingly, on the surface at least, getting along great. And,
that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And, yeah, it was a beautiful day. That helps. But yeah, it was just cool to see that section of London and take it all in. And I was just walking around with my camera, snapping photos whenever I can get out from the show, because the show was indoors. And, although it was well lit and, in a really nice, location, you know, it was nice to get outside whenever I could. So yeah, just hanging out at the Brooks Saddles area, showing my bikes, and I didn't get to really check out too many other people's bikes because I was busy
ball and chained to the Brooks booth.
I wouldn't say ball and chained. I definitely was able to walk around more so than I am at say like Made or something, when I'm definitely chained to the booth.
Right.
But you know, this
because you're repping your own company.
Right.
There
was someone from Brooks holding down the table.
Was
shout
that Gregorio?
Out. Gregorio and Dean.
Okay.
And
Ron is in love with Gregorio.
Yeah, Gregorio is a new employee of Brooks from Italy. He's in his mid-20s or so, and he is a gem and a half. So I got to hang out with him like all
one
week.
To know,
yeah, he was my roommate. Anyway,
can you tell me about the bike that won Best in Show?
Right, the bike that won Best in Show
was
directly adjacent to us. It was Medusa Cycles.
Cool.
This couple
like
from another Peter, he had a Dutch boy haircut that the Peter Peter the organizer of the event cut it for him,
like bangs and everything.
Yeah, he cut
hell
bangs
yeah
for him and everything.
Such a good haircut.
Yeah, so he was there. His girlfriend's bike, I believe, was the one that won Best in Show. So he had made it for her. And
what was it?
It was a really, like, you know, it's, I'd say Medusa's style is, it's weird, but it's attractive. And that's odd. You know, to me, that's,
but
you
like,
don't often get both. You get,
was it
lugs,
like,
it was like lugs.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah,
give me some details.
I could bring it up here in front of me.
Was it for like riding dirt? Was
definitely
it
dirt.
ATB?
I mean,
Like,
it's drop bar.
Cool. Fat tires.
Fat tires.
Knobbies.
Knobbies. Yeah. Let me see. I mean,
no fenders because it's London, so I figure
you'd think
everything has
you'd
fenders.
think there would be fenders, but
No.
I guess, well, I'm gonna try to
They're
find it
getting.
here.
So
Medusa. I found it.
that was your the Best in Show bike. You told me you saw it and you were like, oh yeah, that's definitely the Best in Show. What stuff did you see on the bike where you were like, oh yeah, that they did that really well, like specifically?
Yeah, so Medusa cycles, you know, they do a lot like actual lugs, biplane lugs, like all sorts, like elevated chain stays, really cool paint jobs that Peter does himself, does the hand lettering himself. Just like cool integrated racks, but all of this in like a
Ooh, integrated
classic package.
racks.
Like it looks, it doesn't, it's weird, but it doesn't look like it's attractive, which is very hard to pull off. Like you could make a weird bike and people are just like, you know, like, you know,
That's another
that's
wood bike. That's weird.
another wooden bike. Yeah. Another bike made out of bamboo. Ooh, a tall bike made out of bamboo.
Oh
Oh
my
yeah. That's
goodness.
exactly what everyone wants to ride. So, you know, it's a bike that still looked like you'd want to ride it. Very unique.
Like clean
Clean
lines,
line. I wouldn't
it's
say
got
clean
flow.
lines. It's got flow though. Yeah. I think clean lines would be the opposite of
Another
what.
Peter really appreciates a flow.
Yeah, another
That's
Peter. Yeah,
JP
another JP
Weigel.
Weigel. It had a good flow to it, and you know, one of them was a 29 plus touring bike. One of them was more of like a
Oh, fun.
more of like a
29 plus touring bike. That brings us back to the Baja Divide
it
days, doesn't it,
does it,
Janie?
that it does.
I call Ron Janie sometimes.
Yeah, interchangeable. So yeah, I don't know, it's pretty neat. Like a Medusa coin was incorporated into the top cap and some
Oh,
of the pivot
cool.
points, or some of the, I shouldn't say top cap. You just had cool details on there. It was just nice paint, also great builds. I just was very impressed and happy to be right next to him. So that was cool.
And they were like a really nice
Really nice couple.
couple. Like, just really sweet, humble. That's what you said, right? It's like I was there.
Oh, the but the bike. Okay, Annie. Annie is his girlfriend, and I met her first. Charming, and it was her bike. And will you? I mean, of course, one best in show. You know what tires I had on there?
I think I know.
Ultra Dynamico. I believe there was a
Which ones
a
were they?
double. It was a 650B bike, so it was our the first tire we ever released. The Rosé 650B by 47.
That's the knobby one, but
Knobby,
what does it,
mid-knobby.
what color?
It was a black, all
Oh,
black
I do like that
tires.
look.
Really cool bikes.
Rosé Robusto?
I believe it was a Robusto. It could have been a JFF black wall that we've discontinued, but either way, it had ultra dynamical rubbers, and I'm sure that played into, well, you know, you could start, you build, you know, it's a lot of bike tires out
There he goes again. I mean, like the
there.
second anyone says the word tire, he like lunges from wherever he's standing into the center of the conversation.
I'll
He's like,
restrain
"Let me talk
myself.
to you
I'll
about
restrain
tires.
myself.
I will try to
There are
rein him
sp the
in."
tires. It's our sponsor.
It's I understand, but this is also your personality type.
So yeah, check out the Radivist for more photos. John was there, and John and Carrie were there working all weekend, like working their
Shout out to
asses
Carrie.
off, working their asses
And
off.
John, of course.
John, I don't know how he, like, what his, how his body is going to hold up doing this, like
Because
into
it's
his,
so much,
he will, like, mark my words, he will be doing this into his 70s. Like
He loves
he
it.
can't help himself.
He loves it, yeah.
And he just
And
gets
he's the
better. He
best.
gets better and better and better. And I can't say, like, I can't say enough how rewarding it is to have my bikes shot by him for
Yeah,
thirteen.
you guys get a
We
little sultry on
you
those
know we got
photo
to keep on
shoots.
doing. We've
It's
done it
pretty
so many
funny.
times. It's just over the. I mean, probably 13 years now. Also, I've been having my bike shot by him. So it's like a. It's and he. Like he, I could walk around and check things out at these bike shows and whatnot, but you miss so much. You know, I always go home or go back to my little love shack with Gregorio, and open up my computer and check out what John has shot for the day, even though I was there, because you miss so much. And when you get to see
and
it,
he
through,
doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to see it through John's eye, it's that much more, rich, the experience.
Yeah. And we love them. They're another cycling friend. Couple.
Yeah.
Contributing really, really
so,
nice stuff.
So if you want, I would say culture. if you want to see more, there's some, it's like 5 or 6 galleries on the Radivist where you can see all this stuff, and it's awesome. No paywall, right there.
Pure culture.
So I guess we've probably filled up enough time with all that. Not unless you have something
so,
to add.
That we're gonna wrap it up on Bespoke.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little. I'll have a little blog, ronsbikesblog.com, about all this stuff. Also,
yeah.
With my own photos.
Cool.
Sometime this week. But
so if we wanna get in our time travel machine and go back like 2 weeks before now, you were at.
I was at
bike camp
in
Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Can you believe it? It has been a whirlwind.
Chattanooga choo choo.
Yeah, we heard the Chattanooga choo choo.
I know you did. I know you did. You kept him up all night.
Yeah.
You were there with Spencer from the Radivist.
I was with Spencer from the Radivist.
Who we also love.
Indeed, indeed. We love Spencer. Spencer and I really got to put in some solid bro time this on this trip, because we were Bike Tennessee. Paid for our joint hotel room together. But I wanted to sleep in the queen bed with him, but I needed to get a little extra sleep, so I figured it would be better if I weren't rustling around. So I camped out on the floor on my Therm-a-Rest, which unfortunately, since we don't camp much anymore, even inside, it deflated a number of times in the middle of the night. So, you know, it did not
Yikes.
Sleep that much. But there was so much going on that, there wasn't much time to sleep in the first place. So I was brought out there. Spencer was brought out there by Bike Tennessee, and I was brought out there by the host bike shop, Two Bikes Chattanooga.
Two Bikes Chattanooga.
By friends Mitch and Derek. And what a cool shop. If you're ever in
they're
the Chattanooga,
nonprofit.
They're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And we'll have segments about this in future episodes too. There are so many bad bike shops out there.
You know what? If I think about what Alt Bike is, I would say that's a pretty good example of what it is.
It's a good bike shop.
It's a good bike shop. Repairable bikes.
Uh-huh.
Like DIY style.
That truly serve the community.
And you've got some cutoff shorts.
You gotta have some cutoff
you
shorts.
You gotta have a band t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, you've gotta have a pair of Vans.
There you go.
This.
Yeah, you gotta be wearing a pair of Vans. You gotta sell Bedrocks.
Or
something.
Sure.
Two Bikes Chattanooga, it's a shop I believe opened maybe 2 or 3 years ago now at this point. And it brought both Derek and Mitchell. Sorry, he goes by Mitchell.
Mitchell's such a good name.
Yeah, such a good name. And these are
and
good
college.
Dudes. These are good dudes. Like, I've met them a number of times in the past. Awesome bike style, great mechanics, great purveyors of community. And they just have the right
idea.
And
they respect women.
They do.
Another hallmark of an alt cyclist.
So first time seeing there, they brought me out there. I flew. I was going to drive back down. I had gone through there on my van trip back north from Tucson earlier in the month. And was like, yeah, I'll just drive right back. I had to had a bunch of stuff that I needed to catch up on here. 16 hours to the north, Connecticut and Chattanooga are that far apart.
Our different planets.
So yeah, I was going to get back in the van and drive back down there. But I realized that our van hasn't been registered since 2020.
Okay, we're going to cut that part out because I still have to use it.
So yeah, I ended up getting, and with fuel prices the way they are right now, I ended up getting it was cheaper for me to fly down than it was to pay for the gas. So I got like a $250 round trip flight, and it was super easy. It just put my bike in a soft bag and with some camp gear and flew down there, built my bike up at the airport and rode to the shop, and the festivities began almost immediately. And it was a really cool, many of you may be familiar with our event that we have every fall, the Nutmeg
Nor'easter.
In
its 10th year this
10th
year.
10th year this year.
Very exciting.
We will be probably getting registration up sometime early summer. More information also. Anyway, this Two Bikes Chattanooga Bike Camp is
kind of a similar vibe, huh?
Definitely a similar vibe.
People are camping, cool. There's bike rides.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces from
a lot of Ron Spikes bags, yeah. A lot of Ultradynamico tires.
Yeah, which is really
cool. A lot
to
of
see.
Long hair, a lot of beards, a lot of joints being passed around, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's the vibe.
Not enough though. I was I don't know what you call that. It's not California sober. I guess
I think it's just called sober.
I was just called sober
because you're straight edge. You should know.
I was there as just kind of like they wanted me just to hang out, which is really cool because I, you know, during
you
our
love
event,
hanging out.
I love hanging out.
And you love looking at people's bikes and mm-hmm. telling them what you like. And mm-hmm. I heard, or you told me that you were a little sassy too.
Yeah, I got
you were.
To,
you got pretty sassy with people.
Yeah, I got to be the. Well, there was a group of us that got to judge the bike show. They had about...
Oh, my God. This man, yeah, as a judge, he gets brutal.
It's the... We had maybe like, I want to say like 40 bikes or so to judge. And mm-hmm. it was pre-Y2K and post-Y2K were the two categories.
Oh, that's
which
fun.
Which is pretty cool. I like that. And the post Y2K was actually quite a bit easier because it's kind of like
easier, meaning like easier to judge,
you know, because there's only so much you can do post Y2K.
What do you mean?
You know, like the parts are, you know, everything just changed during, you know, in the 2000s, like parts got considerably more high tech and considerably uglier.
Okay.
And so
we've got a 90s.
Yeah, well,
fan
I think
here.
Anybody here would agree with me. You can't look at newer stuff and not be shocked by the lack of aesthetic pleasure.
Well, we did tell our listeners this is cable actuated and opinionated.
Yeah, there are opinions. This isn't even opinion. This is just fact. Like new shit is ugly.
Okay. But all
that being said, it's not like there aren't. Attractive Facts. New things. Yeah, there are attractive
you're
things.
Here.
And there were some really...
Post Y2K bikes are ugly. Fact.
I mean, yeah, it's a fact.
A wrong fact.
But there are a few outliers, and some people did some really cool post Y2K builds. I mean, for instance, there was a guy with a lavender crust lightning bolt.
Ooh.
So a classic bike, with rim brakes, you know, a classic bike... But because it's a new bike, it has to be categorized post Y2K. You understand?
Okay.
So there are some really nice post Y2K bikes that were inspired by pre Y2K, but they had to be categorized as such.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So that would have been included in post Y2K. But anyway, we went with...
So they're looking at like frame?
We're looking at,
and
yeah.
For that was manufactured before or after Y2K? That's
yeah,
how
I guess
they
categorized we have to base.
It?
I guess we had to base it on the frame. Yeah, yeah.
Because all the parts...
Parts can be
can't...
a spattering of eras in the parts.
Handlebar,
yeah,
wheels,
components. And,
components.
Yeah.
Okay.
So post Y2K, the champion was this fellow who had ridden out from Watts's bike shop in...
Watts Dixon from Revolutionary Cycles
North Carolina. The Carolinas, right. Just make it one Carolina. Unite the Carolinas.
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
He had ridden out. I don't recall how far that was, but it was pretty far. And he was on a crust skate bot.
Oh,
It was purple.
We like purple, I guess.
And he, right when he rolled up, to bike camp, to the pre-ride bike camp on Friday at the bike shop, right when this guy rolled up, I was like, whoa, like this is sick. Like it's all modern parts and everything on this bike, but he had done all these different like pink, purple, and pink and purple anodizing, like on all of his parts that were like everything just like came together perfectly. Like
hot girl walking into the club.
Oh my God. And he also had a matching like, leopard print pink and purple shirt, and his bags were outer shell, I believe, but it was like they were like tan and really melded well with the with the purple and pink on the bike. Like, I love that, like, kind of like light colored bags, oops, and purple and pink. Everything just flowed so nicely. Yeah, it was very much like a bike packing setup, whereas it were fat tires and soft bags. You did have a front rack with a big randonneuring, like a
I'm
big
imagining
randonneuring
like a
bag
My
on
Little
it.
Pony just like galloping into,
But this man was
but with
by
a
no
little bit of
means
Scary
little.
Spice.
By no means little, a big guy.
Well, My Little
My height,
Pony's pretty big.
yeah. It's a pony is still a pony is still a horse. Yeah, right. More of a Clydesdale, a My Little Clydesdale. My Little Clydesdale.
So you love that bike.
Yeah, I love that bike. The guy was super cool. We got to chat a bunch. Also a heavy metal fan. So I didn't, you know, I that I
Maybe
believe
that's alt bike too, Janny.
there's a lot
Maybe
of
alt
metal.
bike is like rock and roll, emo. Oh, I guess. See,
Drums,
I'm a
bass,
boomer. I
yeah,
say
drums,
rock and
bass,
roll.
guitar bands. Yeah, drums, bass, guitar bands.
Yeah, but I like ska, so I love some horns thrown in there. It's either that or like just bluegrass, I guess.
I'd
Also,
like
would you
you.
consider
I
those?
feel like bluegrass is, well, I mean
I mean, we're in Tennessee. Why can't there be some
the
bluegrass?
musical guest was the musical guest for this for bike camp. I guess is a one guy a guy don't remember the name.
Old Crow Medicine Show.
Something.
They play
I don't
Wagon
want to.
Wheel.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to be. Yeah, don't want to be offensive. I can't remember
You
the
just
name.
forgot the
Forget the name.
name, but
But
they
it
were
was.
good.
They were good. It was very quiet type music. It was one guy, and playing
Playing
the guitar,
acoustic.
and yeah, it was acoustic, and there was little fires, and it was very intimate.
Aww,
People
cute.
were. It was a cute scene. After like we had like this big grand, like long table, chili dinner.
Oh, I saw the pictures. It looked really
Yeah,
cute.
the venue here was beautiful, like
Yeah, it looked stunning.
right up against Lookout Mountain, like a
Love seeing
beautiful field
mountains.
of flowers that we were all camping in.
Oh, say less.
Maybe 400 people, and
That's
everyone
a healthy
a
crowd.
healthy crowd for a year too.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And
Good job, bike
I
camp.
guess they had they said the year one they had 300 people, and so and Lael Wilcox was the was the guest of honor in year one. So the joke was, Mitchell, I'd be happy to be your Lael.
What?
It
How
was
does What does that
Lael.
mean?
I was the guest this year.
Oh,
Lael
you
was
said you were
Lael. Was,
happy to be
yeah, I was happy to be
a
your
follow-up to Lael.
I'll happily be your Lael.
Yeah, because
Just,
Ronnie loves Lael
yeah,
Wilcox. They have a really
I do
cute
love Lael
friendship.
Wilcox.
Yeah.
Yeah, so honored to be considered of the same stature as somebody who's ridden their
Well,
bikes around the world.
I'm not sure that you're the
Well,
same
you know, honored to
stature.
be
She is a
considered in the, yeah, honored to
world-class
be honored to be
champion.
in the same
And you are
conversation.
too, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, so that was really cool to be there. So my contribution was I had like a talk on nutrition. It was pretty disjointed.
That's just how we are.
That's
It's
how we
okay.
are.
We both have
People
ADHD.
seem to like it enough. If you So if you clapped, thank you. If you laughed, thank you.
Please like him.
Please like me. Spencer did a really good workshop on photography,
Oh, yeah.
of which he knows quite a bit.
Yes.
There was like a yoga workshop. Nick
Oh,
Morales
nice.
did a bikepacking workshop. Nick from Bikepacking did a bikepacking workshop.
That seems fitting.
Yep, seems fitting. You know, there's a bunch of stuff like that. I got to meet the Geno-Sac, some Geno-Sac fellows.
Oh, love those boys up in Minneapolis.
This
Shout
is
out,
a
Justin.
Mitch. Yeah, Mitch and Justin are the main. You could correct me if I'm wrong here. Because I'm kind of like a, I'm kind of like an
You're an
old. I'm
elder.
an elder, elder in this community. And so
But young in spirit.
these are the younger guys. So it's
They're like in their 20s, early
early
20s.
20s. Yeah,
Yeah,
and I'm in
and
my
they're
late.
out
Yeah.
there.
I'm in my late 40s. Let's put that out on the
Well,
table
I thought
here.
you were 21.
Yeah. Well, I
An
think they
ageless
yeah, I
beauty.
think they probably thought that.
They did. They
Yeah,
saw
I'll
you as
say
one
that.
of their
Yeah,
own.
yeah.
A little
A
brother.
little brother. So yeah, I
God, my
got to
little
hang with
brother's here is
them.
so
Yeah,
annoying.
so annoying.
I doubt it.
It was cool that it was cool that I thought I had these notifications turned off. Sorry. It was cool that
Yeah, I love the Geno Sack boys. Yeah, Geno Sack boys. They're really fun. Their YouTube channel
Max,
is lit.
Yeah, Max from
Max from LA
came out, or Southern LA came out to hang to those guys. And we went
Dirt Toads?
A little ride. Yep, Dirt Toads.
Yeah.
We went out and we did a little ride to a creek and took a dip.
Nice.
I smoked a spliff with them, and I took one for the team. Not really a tobacco person, but I
did it. Yeah, make you all woozy
a little bit, but I wanted to fit in. That's peer pressure.
You were the little brother. You're just following your big brothers.
I realized this afterwards. We went swimming and I was the only one totally naked. Oh, and I probably freaked them out.
Such little brother stuff. So embarrassing.
So thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for hanging out with this old guy. So we got to do a little bike check that maybe they'll have on their YouTube, and we got to talk a little bit about like what I was excited with in our current bike culture.
That's really fun.
And
gatherings like this is so important, you know, because we see ourselves on the internet doing this and that, and mm-hmm. there's just so much content out there. We're creating more, and it's nice to be like face to face.
Yeah.
Spliff to spliff.
butt cheek to cheek.
Dancing cheek to cheek. It's just a different energy.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like more powerful, or like, I don't know. I just always got a sense of like, oh, there is a place that I kind of belong, because a lot, you know, Ronnie and I are recording this in our kitchen mm-hmm. and in a town that has 8,000 people. It's gorgeous, but there definitely is something like, what did the friend call it? The burden of quaintness. Yes, it's quite quaint, but the burden of quaintness to me is this like sense of loneliness. Yeah, you can go on beautiful bike rides forever and ever and with your friends sometimes, but mostly solo.
You have a harder time connecting with
people. I do. Yeah. I think it's just my brash political upbringing and like just cynicism.
Whereas here for me, I would consider a lot of friends in a rich community. So
if Ron is the sun, I'm the moon. Yeah. He's like obviously the sunshine. I think in couples, there's like mm-hmm. there's usually like the sunshine and then the grumpy person, and I kind of tend to be more on the darker mm-hmm. yin mm-hmm. or was it yang? Whatever the moon energy is, I'm over there. So it's harder for me to make friends sometimes because I get right into a conversation. I'll be like, "Hey, I'm Aria. What are your childhood traumas? Let's connect. Let's dissect this. Let's dig more into the things that make you uncomfortable." And a lot of people are pretty put off by that, seemingly.
But a lot of people love it.
But also, some people love it, yeah, and those really are my closest friends.
Yeah. So you know, you can't. I guess it's harder. Would you say in that regard, it's harder to keep a number of close friends because it's like everyone's dumping their trauma on you all the time?
Not really, because I'm asking for it. Yeah. But I think when I was younger, I had a lot of like surface level friends that I like did surface level things with, and those just didn't last. The friends that I have, who I cherish right now, are friends I've done really hard things with that were bonded because we've gone on really hard bike rides, like the Tour Divide with Sam, with Sal. We just connected. We've done hard rides too. Like Cheech and I have done some hard rides. Molly and I have organized an entire national movement together. Shout out to Radical Adventure Riders. Molly's not doing it anymore, but I stopped doing it in 2020. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Whereas
Ron, he's like, yeah, we're doing this podcast. He's in a band called Bone Mill that he practices with our cycling friends up the road. He's doing... He's like Bourdain. He can hang like Bourdain, which is what I used to say. Because Bourdain is RIP, but...
I oftentimes meet people and hang with them for a little bit, and I feel like we've known each other our whole lives.
No, it's because you're so wholesome and sweet.
Going to things like this, I come back pretty energized. I get energized by groups of people like sharing their love for stuff that I love so much, which is all things bicycle culture.
It's so cute. I love that about you. I love the way that you, like, look at the world, because it's so different from mine. Mm. Like the dark energy, like the shadow stuff, and you are just brightness.
You're not all
like,
shadows, Nam.
I'm not all shadows. Like nothing ever is. It's yin yang, right? But like you always see the best in people and things, and always ready with like quick humor. And I love that about you. I wish I could do that a little bit easier. Mm.
I like this little sharing moment here.
Sharing is caring.
So back, I guess, back on
you
track.
You had a really good
back on the Chattanooga Choo Choo track. I had a really good set of friends. Hanging out or in our life here, but also the people that I met in Chattanooga.
You were really energized by them too.
Yeah, I felt like I had all these new friends, and we had been yamming it up
you
so much.
You were just like such good people.
Yes, yes.
Just kept
everybody
saying
there,
that.
Everybody such there, such good people. So it was just cool to see, to see a whole nother scene through the, you know, and have it be in a place that I have not been to much. You know, Tennessee is a long, you know, it's a wide state. You know, it spans the east into the Midwest,
right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And Chattanooga, from what everyone told me, is and Knoxville are the two cool cities of Tennessee for the outdoor enthusiast. And Chattanooga, I was very impressed with not only their bike infrastructure, but the riding around the city and the bike scene in the city. I know Mitch and Derek opened up the shop there because Chattanooga has such a good bike scene.
Mm-hmm.
They had gone on like a group ride, and there were like 50 people on an average group ride.
Oh, awesome.
You know, and all into the same stuff, all riding like Rivendell's and Crusts, etc.
Cool.
And so, you know, not all, but you know, a lot of that, those are hallmarks of
alt cycling.
Rivendell and Crust.
Yeah.
So yeah, just cool shit.
Vintage mountain bikes.
Yeah,
I've always been curious about Tennessee because I used to do like anti-mountaintop removal activism, as you know. And one of the last events that we organized and like protests that we did against the Tennessee Valley Authority, like spill, they had this huge spill back in 2009 and they weren't telling anyone about it. It was a big thing. And when I was there, I was in a completely different state of mind, so I'm curious as to how something as positive as bikes, like moving your body with your own power, can give people a sense of the power they have. Because Appalachia, I mean, that's Appalachia, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Chattanooga is a super fun site.
Right.
You know, there is that.
Because
you know,
it's a coal mining.
Coal mining and just the industry there.
Yeah.
The industry there it's since been cleaned up and, what do they call that? Remedied, mitigated, or something. Anyway, reclamated. There are neighborhoods where, you know, where the soil is not. You know, if you were to garden there, the actual.
You don't want to eat that cilantro, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, the Mitchell, they own him and his wife own a house in one section of Chattanooga, and they have there's a town soil tester that comes by.
Yeah.
And if it's, you know, if it doesn't pass the soil test or whatever, they bring in new topsoil for you.
Good.
So I guess that could work.
I mean,
but I mean,
it depends.
The flip side is cheap, relatively cheap housing for, you know, that's
yeah,
how it
you
goes.
Pay with your
you
health.
Pay, you,
down
yeah,
the line,
yeah. But you know, aside from all that, great bike scene,
great
coffee shop.
Let's
get back
into
it. Three really.
Has the gentry arrived in Chattanooga?
The gentry
as well?
Has arrived.
They bring the latte arts.
So the shop that most of the festivities were based out of, like before leaving Chattanooga, was the Velo bike shop. Velo coffee shop. Bikes and coffee always go so well together. Not quite sure why. It's just they're kind of baked together in many ways. I think it kind of came from the pros back in the day, always having these cafe stops. It's very Euro. But the South has good coffee because I don't know what the affiliations are of these shops, but Christianity brings in good coffee because they use it as their they're like
their new missions.
They're missionary.
Yeah.
They're missionary work. Isn't that interesting? Like if there are any like coffee brand that you're way into, like do a little back research on them. Chances are
they are Christians.
They are Christian. They are Christian gentry.
Yeah.
And, but hey, you know, they do know their coffee. And so I don't know what is the story behind Velo. I'm sure probably, they didn't appear Christian. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But yeah, I don't think you can really tell a Christian
tell if,
just
yeah,
by looking at them
yeah.
with your
but,
eyes.
But, you know, they're your classic, like, queers work in the coffee bar.
Yes, that's when you know you
that's
can
when
trust
you know
a coffee
you, that's
shop.
That's when you know you got a good one. And pour-overs with a little,
like I said,
like a little, my favorite coffee
better.
Comes when you get it from a coffee shop. You know, whatever with your espresso drinks.
Okay, yes,
you know,
get
and,
into
you
it.
Know, it's, whatever, but when you want, when you have like a few like single origins on the menu,
that's
and
right.
And they offer a pour over,
mm-hmm.
and you can really get that the you know you get those tasting notes, and a nice pour over prepared for you in a little carafe, and then they had a little shot glass of seltzer water.
Yep, to cleanse your palate.
Cleanse your palate, and then the little cup to pour your. The coffee from
on like a cute little tray
cute
or
little
something
tray.
Like
yeah,
that
like a
you
square
you
nap,
must
like a,
present it in that
like a
way.
Nice napkin and it was just
nice napkin
yeah.
What about it like a little cookie
oh that would be nice they didn't have a little cookie for me but I could have bought one and if I weren't watching my weight at all times now
oh my god
I'm not really but you know
yeah he's a cyclist so he naturally comes with that disordered eating
yeah I have an eating disorder
it's
we'll get
just
into
a mindset
sometime. Yeah
yeah
So yeah, it was just a nice. So there were rides that we went out with, you know, like on Saturday. It was a nice big group ride, and we were way up on the top of Lookout Mountain, and it was just cool to ride with folks. Rode with the Geosat crew, got to see some waterfalls, got to chase some waterfalls, and
don't go chasing waterfalls.
And then I rode back into town, got my bike back in a bag, and a nice fellow Kevin brought me back to the airport, and it was super easy flying in and out of Chattanooga. Really mm-hmm. nice airport. Had a calzone at the speaking
hey,
of watching my
calzone.
Had a calzone at the airport, and dripped all over my pants. Grease, calzone grease all over my pants when I got home.
I think it's worth it. I think calzones
yeah,
are
I haven't had a calzone
best.
In a long time, I gotta say. And
it's
this
a free
was a
hot
good
pocket.
Calzone. It's a good, at an airport, a calzone, you gotta go for it.
Yeah.
You gotta check it out.
Yeah.
So, all in all, great experience. Read about it in the Radivus today. Great photos by Spencer. So, thank you for Two Bikes Chattanooga for taking me out there.
Yeah, that's what's up.
All right, well, what are we on to now?
Well, you know, we normally do the sport. Normally, this is our first
yeah.
podcast. We said we were going to do sport news, but I think we did that in the beginning. I think we're going to go into Tell 'Em Why You're Mad.
Okay, all right.
So Tell 'Em Why You're Mad is a segment that, you know, Ron and I are both mostly grew up in Connecticut. And there's a radio channel called Hot 93.7 that plays like today's hip-hop and R&B, and they had a section called Tell 'Em Why You're Mad. Just we're just copying them directly, please don't sue us.
Jenny Boo Boo
with Jenny Boom Boom.
Jenny, oh sorry, Jenny Boom Boom.
Rude. How could you miss with DJ Hogg, DJ Michi, you know. Anyway, and they would have people all over Connecticut or wherever they were call in and be like, you know, why I'm mad? I'm mad that, you know, 95 is always under construction and I'm trying to just pick up my kid and this sucks. So we thought it'd be fun and a shout out to Jenny Boom Boom and DJ Michi to do a Tell 'Em Why You're Mad. But like, what... part what grievances do you have with bikes, bike culture, the material, the cultural. And I will put this out to Ron. Ronnie, tell him why you're so mad about aero bars.
Okay,
oh my
we're gonna go into aero bars. Well, you know, this
his
is
cheeks
yeah.
just flushed, his eyes, his pupils just dilated.
I mean, thankfully we don't have to look at them nearly as much because they were banned by like the Lifetime Grand Prix, which is the kind of like the UCI of gravel
in
America,
US,
in
yeah.
the US. It's kind of the big race series. So they've been banned by the pros, thank God, because I think people still really try and emulate the pros even in gravel. And so, for people who aren't
familiar, gravel is becoming more and more.
I mean, it is in America. It's the
Sarah
only
Sturm's peeing in her chamois.
peeing in her shoes.
Because you got to do that to stay competitive.
Sure, you got to pee in your chamois. I've been, you know, first time I peed in my chamois, I mean.
You've been peeing in your chamois,
Well, I mean, when I raced, I peed in my chamois. You don't, you know, when I road raced.
I thought that people with penises just stuck it out of their
bibs.
Well,
you don't always have,
like,
that much time. Like, it matters if it's in the heat of the race, and you got, you're hydrating so much and prehydrating in the beginning of the race. Your bladder is, if you're doing it right.
How many times can you pee in a chamois before it just
gets? Twice. I'd say twice.
That's it.
Because it also, it runs down your leg, and if you're on a steel bike, it runs into your seat tube. And I ruined
a
bike. And
if there's someone behind you, it sprays.
Well, I mean, they think it's sweat or, like,
I think they know what it is. No, they race too. They're also like peeing in their chamois, sparing the person behind them.
I don't know. In the Cat 5 days, like, I was very competitive. And I don't think people were peeing in their chamois in Cat 5. I was. So I think they probably thought it was water.
Because no one else is doing. I mean, it also wasn't that competitive.
Yeah,
well,
anyway,
then, but...
so yeah, so right, Sarah Sturm, is peeing in her chamois.
Sometimes.
So, you know, gravel.
Tell them why you're mad
I hate
Aerobars.
Because it's a terrible look. I mean, you got to have, it's like this big obtrusion on your bike. I understand it gives you like a different, like a comforting position, and it is more aerodynamic, hence faster. But you know, there are a lot of different pluses to aero bars, comfort wise and speed wise, but that isn't all that matters. Aesthetics, how you look, is to me paramount. Like, that's number one. And aero bars are quite possibly the ugliest accessory that you could put on the front of your bicycle, and a lot of endurance racers are able to do. I know in like the, say like in Unbound, the 300 or 350 or whatever, that big distance, 350 XL. Miles, the Unbound XL or other races like that, you're allowed to run the aero bars and stuff, and it doesn't mean that you should. Or maybe, you know, maybe you should rethink. If you need aero bars to do 350 miles, you probably shouldn't do 350 miles. Just, just cut it off when your neck hurts. Be like, okay, probably stop riding right now.
But I also think that you just don't do distances like that. That's not, like, where you
because
get your
I would
fun.
Need, because I, it would be so uncomfortable that I would need to put this contraption on the front of my bicycle that makes it look... Like, you know, I wouldn't be able to take a photo of my, I wouldn't be able to like prop my bike. I go on bike rides so I could prop my bike up against a fence and take a photo of it.
Fair enough. That's part of your bike joy.
That's
and
part
then
of
having
my bike
a unicorn,
joy.
A double horned unicorn.
Yeah, I wish we had a more derogatory bike. like comment on the look. Like, wish we had a quip, but I don't have it. Nothing's coming to mind right now. It's just plain
a
ugly.
Quip.
It's just don't do it, folks. Don't do it. You know, just don't
He's
do
mad.
It.
I'm not so mad about it. Because I could see their use for Tour Divide or something where you're just slogging away day by day.
But this
it's
has
nice
been,
to have
yeah,
another
this
position.
Has been a battle I've been fighting for years. This has been a hill I've been standing on for years now.
It's true, he has.
You know, and I think it's not, I don't think this is new to anybody. Like, you know, it's obvious. Like, I think most people listening here would agree with me and already have had this thought and, you know, they're not riding aero bars on any of their bikes, I wouldn't think. I mean, I guess it's the tie-in to triathlons, which triathlon culture is like nose to nose with modern mountain bike culture as the lowest rung of like the bottom of the barrel of cycling culture are those two.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, so just don't do it, folks. We'll get into more of why I think mountain bike culture is right down there with triathlons these days as far as the.
Are
look.
You mad about that too?
I mean, we'll get it. I don't
save,
think we have enough time.
Save your
some.
Madness for the next
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Derailleur size. That's something else I can get into. These are all future episodes.
Oh my God.
You know, there's a lot that I'm mad about.
Wow. Well, you're supposed to be the sunshine. I'm supposed to be the moon here. Jeez.
Anything you're mad about?
I'm mad about so many things.
Oh, shoot. We don't even want to get started.
I don't want to get into it on the first
episode.
Just don't.
Yeah, okay, we'll save.
But mine are like the political stuff. Like mine is, you know, lack of compassion in the world, lack of just like competency in the world. That's what I'm mad about.
Right, right, right. And it's crossover into women's pro cycling.
It has. Okay, I'm getting there. I just felt it in my voice.
What did you think of what Demi Vollering, who won, spoiler alert, won Liège, Bastogne Liège for a second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever time. I don't know how many times.
The upteenth time, she's as really long good. As it's been happening. Yeah. It's been allowed for women to be racing that.
Yeah, she oftentimes has critique.
Well, she should. They bust their ass for a living that they have to scrape by on because their prize money, the coverage, the safety standards on the roads just are not there. Like
a lot of terrible crashes
because someone puts forgets to put the cone away, like the traffic cone away from the middle of the fucking road when the pro peloton is charging down, you know, and they crash and they don't have the financial resources like the men's to be able or the support.
Right.
To be able to get back up as quickly when they crash. This is their entire life, their career. Like, there's not enough science, there's not enough support. That's what I'm mad about, is the lack of respect that... respect and resources that the women's...
The rot here goes deeper than aero bars.
So much deeper. It is thousands and thousands of years deep. And the thing is, the women... viewership just keeps skyrocketing year after year.
Would you say skyrocketing?
That's what everybody else is saying. I mean, listen because to the Wheel Talk podcast, and the viewership is not correlating with
the coverage,
the sponsorship packages, whatever. And it is maddening, and that's why I'm mad.
I did read an article that Trek is... but they make up the difference of the prize money out of their own pockets for the
men's even a women's. Broken clock is right two times a day.
So of course Trek outfits bike cops, so not very
not the best.
Not, yeah,
but Lucinda Brand rides for them, and Lucinda.
And I guess Trek also is pretty shitty to their dealers. This is hearsay. Actually, no, it's been documented.
It's pretty fucking terrible.
That's for future episodes too. We'll get more into the big bike brands that we like and don't like.
Yeah,
a lightning round.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's wrap things up. Yeah. We've been chatting for a little bit. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Wow. Has it really been a podcast already?
Yep.
Okay.
And then some.
Yeah, okay, okay. What do we got here, Namdal? I mean, Arya?
Ron and I both have a lot of names that we call each other. So, wrapping things up, we will be coming back next week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what day we're going to
be releasing these. But once a week is the goal.
Once a week is the goal. Maybe like Tuesday or Wednesday. I think
we could, because this was just, you know, we just finished our coffees and teas.
It's what we do all the time.
It's what we do each morning anyway. And I've got my oats are getting cold right now.
Yes.
So yeah, I got to get to those. But you know, it's been a beautiful morning just chatting away with you here, sweetie.
Aww, love you.
And I'm optimistic. That we can keep this going.
Thanks for joining us. Tune in next time to Alt Bikes Now
with Ronnie and Arya. I'm Ronnie,
and I'm Arya,
and this has been Alt Bikes Now. Oh, you had a better ending there. See ya next week.
See you next week.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Get out for a ride today.
Ride safe. Ride smart, ride together if you can.
That's something I can't wait for.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.